This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
Yeah, Brock and Salk here, Danny in all morning long. Great to have you, buddy.
Thank you for having me, Brock. It's so fun to work with you.
What a day. What a day to be in and talk life and shop. Mariners, huge win, big moves, Felix to the bullpen. Seahawks, I think overall last night, you know, we kind of gave our takeaways and little details. I think overall that was a very positive first step.
Even though the only touchdown was scored on the opening drive of the game by the offense.
Yeah, yeah. And Austin had a great second drive, and that was just a...
He had a bad interception.
It was just kind of a boneheaded, very surprising decision there.
Well, no, to be fair, on the pick in the end zone, he saw that the cornerback had a step on the wide receiver,
yes.
So he dropped it right down the chimney.
He sure
he
did.
He threw it perfectly to that DB. He gave the wide receiver no chance of touching it. He put it the only place his receiver couldn't catch it.
That's true. Yeah, that, I think all of that, poor Keenan on the other end of it, I think all of that is very true. But there were not a lot of big plays given up. You know, it was a bunch of field goals on the other side. It was a night for the youth to play. I mean, there was a ton. Trey Flowers played an entire half. Shaquin played nearly all four quarters, just running around. Will Disley, the rookie class that we were raving about, that really, for the first time out, not a dress rehearsal, but the actual first play wearing the Seahawks uniforms, I thought made a very positive first impression.
The other thing was, there's been so much scrutiny on the officiating changes, and there were a lot of penalties in the second half, and that was annoying, but I actually felt all of them were pretty legit calls.
Agreed. Like they missed the fumble. That Delano ripped that ball out.
They blew it dead too quick, and that's been a point of emphasis for the officials this year. I was disappointed at that because that play was still live.
Yeah, but the two helmet ones were obvious. Those are the hits you're going to try to as best you can eliminate, and the ejection was to Schmarco was totally warranted and fair. So
yeah, that was brutal, man.
That was really bad.
That's
the play they want out of football.
Yeah,
you know, for the players today, for the future players, for the moms and dads who want to get their little kids to play football, that's the hit. And David Moore, the recipient, and hopefully any word on him? Was there any?
No, there wasn't any indication that it was. We don't know how serious it was.
Yeah, well, hopefully for his sake,
he got clobbered
because of where he's at. And I would agree with you, a little bit ahead of Darbo right now. Hopefully he can get back on the field.
How about 67? How about 67's roughing the passer penalty where he took two steps and lowered his
Joey
head?
Joey Ivy just with the blast. I don't know how long I'll get to wear this uniform, but as long as I do, wearing 67 on the D-line, I'm going to take
I'm going to make a dent.
Shots. Hey, I said open phone lines. You guys have jammed these phone lines, 206-421-3776. I got a pair of training camp tickets. We're just going to give it to the best caller. Maybe the first, maybe the fifth, maybe the tenth, whoever the best caller is, you're going to win those tickets. And Danny, I don't know if you know what the top five board is. Are you familiar with the top five board?
Yes.
You can see Kendall down in Santa Monica, Jesse in Bothell, Josh in University Place, Don in Seattle, Roger in T-Town, 1 through 5 on that big board. That is open for business as well. And you guys are all over these phones. I do want to start here. I see a number of Seahawks calls, but big news last night as well in the Mariners world. They demote Felix Hernandez. They put him in the bullpen. Ian in Tacoma, you're going to get the party started today. What do you think of the Felix Hernandez move? Go ahead.
Let's do it. All right. Thanks, guys. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Let's go.
Hey, man.
Yeah, so I'm stoked. I think about Felix's competitiveness. I think he's going to be able to – I think he's going to look at this as a positive move. I think he's going to be able to turn it around to a positive move, excuse me, move to the bullpen. It's a slap in the face, a realization, if you will. But personally, I think the intangibles – I know, Brock, you like to talk about intangibles a lot, and – his competitiveness, his fire is going to help us in our playoff run, even if his arm isn't. And, you know, from the other starting pitchers we got, you know, I think Marcos probably, he seems at least the most competitive and the most fiery. Maybe it's because he's young, but Paxton, I haven't really seen that from him much. And Mike Leake, you know, he's too quiet. We don't really get a read from him, at least us fans though. And Wade LeBlanc kind of seems, you know, he almost seems aloof at times. So I really think that competitiveness of Felix is going to come help.
Hopefully it'll come alive and help the guys in the bullpen. Thank you, Ian. Yeah, you like Marco, huh?
I love Marco.
What's the shirt you want to make?
It's not on our table. When Toronto comes back next season, I've gone to one of those games in that series each of the past 4 years, at least it might be 5. I love going to that series. It infuriates me that the Mariners have lost the last two that I've been there.
Mm.
But it's embarrassing what we've allowed to happen at Safeco Field. The Mariners didn't do their part this season in that series, but we haven't done our part as fans.
True.
So I'm rallying fans next year. We're going to hand out leaflets advising the Canadians on how not to be annoying. And we're going to wear shirts that say, not on our table.
Well, the Mariners face the Astros tonight. Not on 770, but right back here. No Seahawks game tonight. So the Mariners, you can hear them taking on the Astros. Looking to win back-to-back games. That'll be at 5:10. Pre-game show starts at 4 right here on 710 ESPN Seattle. I don't know, Ian, if I would agree with that. I do look at intangibles. I look at a lot of those other things. But I don't think Felix is fire or competitiveness. Marco, plenty competitive. Wade LeBlanc, cocky, plenty competitive. Paxton does it his own different way. So I'm not quite buying the you're going to miss the competitive fire out of Felix starting.
Here's a way that I think it can help. Other than you're removing a player who was not performing at an acceptable level. I think this answers a question for the rest of the clubhouse. I think that there's been a shadow, a cloud that has hung over with the uncertainty about Felix and is he going to get another start? And I don't think it's about just about, hey, we don't want Felix to lose his spot in the pecking order. I think there's been an uncertainty about what exactly is going on. What are we doing here? What do we have?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a hole in the rotation every 5 days? How long is that hole going to be allowed to persist? I think getting some closure on that. As far as the competitiveness of Felix, there's all sorts of... I don't care how competitive a guy is if he's not getting guys out. Yeah, and that's really what it is.
Hey, by the way, speaking of results, did you see what old Robbie did up in Everett last night?
He homered.
Yeah, I think he had, what, 4 hits last night?
What if you're a single-A pitcher and you get out there and you go up against Robinson Cano?
Yeah.
Like a 19-year-old kid out there, like, okay.
Are the Jay Slammers going up there tonight?
Yeah, Jay Slam.
Jay Slam's going to be up in Everett, the whole
yes.
quintet?
It's we're down one only because Ashley's on vacation. She's there in spirit.
Okay.
So, yeah, if you're going
so
up to Everett tonight, come say hi because it's Braden Bishop's For Mom fundraiser tonight. So it's for a good cause. You get to see Robbie. It's going to be fun.
How cool is that?
There's also a pizza catching contest.
There also might be a contest where Jay Slam might be involved in the second inning.
Whoa.
Mid-game. We'll
whoa,
see.
They're
whoa,
catching
whoa.
Pizzas against bloggers.
Hello.
Little noodle-armed weenie bloggers from
Everett.
Lookout Landing.
Hey,
the respect of our station is depending on you guys, Lydia.
They'll
oh my
deliver.
Gosh, I can't let us down.
You know who else delivers? Adam in Seattle's delivered. He's been on this top 5 board, Danny, and he's playing to your tune. Exactly your point that you wrote about, Adam in Seattle. What'd you see last night?
Good morning. That first drive with the Seahawks offense set it for me. Russell Wilson looked absolutely locked in. That touchdown drive was over 6 minutes. And besides the touchdown, my favorite part was the 4th-and-1 on the Colts 33. And Brock, you said it on the air live. We're not going to pass it like the Colts are on their 4th down. We're not going to make it complicated. We're going to straight run the football. And Chris Carson got that 1st down for us. So my overall takeaway was Russell Wilson looked locked in. And Russell and Shoddy looked like it's going to be a great pair for us.
I appreciate that, Adam. Thank you for the phone call. Yeah, that was a statement. Both teams had 4th downs. And by the way, you're going to see as the Seahawks chose to kick a field goal in the second half, you're going to see them kick field goals. You have to. You have to see Janikowski and Myers and that competition played out. But that was a really telling point right there, and it was very clear. We're putting the big fellas on the field. We're not going to run any little rub routes or anything like that. We know we can do that. But this is going to be about running the football and running it when you know we're running it and running it right at you with our big fellas and Fluker and Carson getting it done, and that was a sight for sore eyes.
Go, 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 go. Go, Shoddy, call a run play. We gonna draft guys who play like all day. We gonna go wide double tight, run counter trace. And you know Russ don't give up if it's a good play.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh, man, that's amazing.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Why have I never heard that?
Yeah,
Aaron Mason for the win.
Aaron Mason
dude.
Putting together our Go Shorty. You want to hear a little bit
hold
more?
On, hold on one second. Is that Howdy that's entered the room again?
Yes, it is.
Howdy's presence was not in the room when you played that last time. Howdy, there has been a threat. You produce all of our morning songs, shows, gimmicks to the extreme. Do you know you've got a competitor?
To the extreme, he rocks the mic like a vandal.
Light up a stage and watch him Trump like a candle. Do you know that you've got competition in the afternoon?
Whoa.
You've not heard? I've never heard this. I didn't know there was somebody in this building that says, oh boy, Hattie's not the only one that can write a jingle. How about this?
Go, 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 go.
shoddy, call a run play. We gonna draft guys who play like all day. We gonna go wide double tight, run counter trace. And you know Russ don't give up if it's a good play. You can run on first and 10, rough up the defense with Caroline, move to 6. When I hit them there again, I'm into clock control. I ain't into sequences, so bring up an 8th man if you follow my game plan. You can run on first and 10, rough up the defense with Caroline, move to 6. When I hit them there again, I'm into clock. Huh.
What?
Shoddy
what?
Doing it on this mic. Living the dream, 710 ESPN. Danny, Dave, and more. Go home. Fuck off.
What's
it's the caca?
What's up, Howdy? What you got now?
It's really, really good. That's amazing.
Now, to be fair, Howdy's writes all his originals, right? Like, this was outsourced. Like, this was a fan.
The lyrics were provided to Aaron Mason. The other thing is that you have to respect that it's an entirely different ethic that is being used. Boy Howdy's got a little bit of Ben Folds mixed in, some musical theater.
Sure.
There's a creativity.
Sure.
This was straight up parody style. This was straight up Weird Al Yankovic parody. Not to say that one's better than the other. They're just different. They're different genres entirely.
I love that, though.
Level up, 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 level up. All this on me, oh so yummy, all this oh so yummy. You know you want this yummy, yummy, all in your tummy. Level up, level up, level up, level up. All this on me, oh so yummy.
I'll say this, that song, not Howdy's song, but Sierra's song, played 3 times at practice last week. That's excessive. It can play once during practice.
Kelly.
And even then, should not play once every day. It shouldn't be on every day. The wife of the quarterback song cannot play 3 times in one practice.
Kelly in Seattle, can you please bring this thing back? Put it back on the tracks, Kelly in Seattle, because you liked what you saw last night defensively, huh?
Yeah, well, that song, I think Rashad Penny, I think his new nickname is 20 Cent now. I mean, you guys have inspired me. So thank you for that. But Brock, I owe you an apology.
No, hold on one second. Hold on one second, Kelly. You know what you just won? You just won yourself. You got a Danny Cackle. You got
Woo!
The room laughing.
Let's go!
Way to go, really Kelly. Good. Before you open my apology, you won yourself tickets to the August 15th training camp. Can you make it August 15th, Seahawks training camp? We got a pair of tickets to give.
Can I get an autograph from you, bro?
Sure, bro. You got it, man. You
All
got
right,
it.
Well, I'll shake your hand and I will apologize to you face-to-face.
For what? For what?
Dude, I've never liked you, man. Ever since you made fun of me for them trading, thinking about trading Matt Hasselbeck for Donovan McNabb instead of Kevin Kopp, I've just always had a grudge against you. But 2018, man, you bring it in the humor. I love it. And then yesterday, you completely outshined Kurt Menefee, dude. You were good. I enjoyed your commentary, man. That's
Kelly, don't sound surprised.
College game, I'm like, oh, it's Brock. But it's, dude, it was a good game. You did well, man. But so anyway, I owe you an apology. And then also I wanted to give a shout out to Hakeem King. That dude can play, man.
Wow.
I mean, he's just a coach or two away from being a contributor. And I think Trey Flowers, he's there. He's ready to go. He just needs a little bit more coaching, too. So I'm super jacked about it.
Congratulations. Wow. You've made the top five.
Kelly in Seattle, dude. You
the
just
powerhouse call.
Oh, my gosh.
Stay on the line. We will get your number here. We stay on the line. I don't know what button to hit, Kyle, to do that. But you stay right on the line. Big Kyle will get your information.
He won tickets and went top five.
Yeah,
that's a record.
Wow.
When
that just happened.
20 cents.
Yeah. I mean,
that was funny. And then following it up with great backhanded compliments of Brock, like a really well executed sort of being nice and mean at the same time.
Yes.
Like not afraid to admit it, honest and brash, but like, I didn't like you, but hey, maybe I was wrong.
That was perfect. That was incredibly entertaining. And
you like
some
beef.
Insight.
You said it earlier. You like beef.
I do like
beef. Balance eyes, elbow follow through. Where's the beef? Yeah. That's how you shoot a basketball. That's what I learned.
Yeah. Beef and worms in your Wellington. Absolutely. It's fantastic.
Hey, Howdy, you got those mean tweets? You got those mean tweets ready? Because Kelly just kind of brought some of that. If you got a couple of these mean tweets ready to go, why don't you fire away before we take some more calls? Phone lines lit up. We'll get to a bunch of all of these calls. I promise you that. But there were some good mean tweets last night.
There were some good mean tweets. And ironically, you didn't even find the best ones.
Oh, okay. What you got?
Brock, if you could shave 10 seconds off your commentary of each play, that would be great. Oh, Brock Heward, I remember my first suit, too. Hashtag fashion. Hashtag colorblind. Brock Heward is horrible on these broadcasts!
Brock Heward looks like the couch.
Looks like a couch?
Hey, Brock, have you been sitting in the sun? You look more tan than Kirk Herbstreit.
Brock Heward's obsession with Fluker's size is getting creepy. Also, he keeps adding pounds every time he mentions it. By halftime, he'll be 460 pounds. Ooh, Brock Heward looking rough these days.
One time, my mom was in line behind Brock Heward at Papa Murphy's, and he had to ask them directions on how to make the pizza. Hashtag football expert. Hashtag no knowledge. Hashtag pizza novice. Hashtag duh.
Brock, they were coming after you. Even the local market was coming after you this
so
time.
Good. That is so good. There's only two people, well, two and a half, that are uncomfortable with that. Lydia, my mom, and my dad's the half.
Oh, like, really?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to see them today. Get to go down to Puyallup. I'm going to pop my mom and dad's, and they're going to say the same thing. Like, do people like you? I'm so sorry. Like, they hear that segment of poor mom still after all these years. Suns get booed at quarterback. Yes, there's mean tweets out
there. And then, Brock, this morning I went to one of my favorite football sites, WalterFootball.com, to read their preview of like what they saw out of the game.
Okay.
And they had an NFL preseason announcers section at the bottom, which says, usually preseason announcers talk up their own players. The Seattle guys did this in the Indianapolis for the Indianapolis players instead. One of them, Brock Heward, said, Jack Doyle is one of the great tight ends in the game. Jack Doyle is a great tight end now? That's like saying some of these announcers are great broadcasters on TV, but that would be a horrible lie, much like his statement.
Wow. I don't know who they were rougher on, Jack Doyle or Brock Heward.
Yeah.
That's not nice at all.
Jack Doyle's pretty good. He caught 80 passes last year. He's pretty good. That Danny, that comes with the territory, okay?
Of course it does.
It just comes with it. I'm willing to take those mean tweets, and how do you do them phenomenally well?
That's pretty funny.
Not as good as our boy Kelly in Seattle, who won training camp tickets and got himself into the top five and had a tremendous phone call. A bunch of you guys are still all over this. Oh, I like this one. This shows, I think, the diehard nature, and it doesn't surprise me. It comes out of Kent, where some of the bluest of the blue-blooded Seahawk fans reside. Mr. Jason, you didn't like something last night, huh?
No, I did not. Pete Carroll mismanaged that last time out. When you have a third and one at your own 45, you got to get that stop. And if you don't, you're out of time.
Okay.
Wait.
That's a glaring hole in the regular season.
All right.
Now I tend to agree with you. I don't think Pete manages the clock particularly well, but my arguments are that it's four-minute situations primarily and the use of challenges and timeouts early in halves. Go through.
Well, he didn't do that last night.
So what did you want him to do, Jason? No. Hold on a second.
The other side of the two-minute drill.
Hey, hold on one second, Jason. What did you want him to do last night? So they burned the three timeouts, and they burned the third one before the two-minute warning. And Delano Hill had the play to make, by the way. Truth be told, he makes that tackle in the backfield, right? They stop the clock at 2 minutes and have all the time in the world to drive down and win the game. So what did you not like about it?
That's a glaring hole in the regular year.
Okay. Okay. All right, man.
That's a concern going on.
What do you think the mistake he made was?
Calling
I'm looking at the play.
With 2:20 left.
There's 30.
Giving him no chance of getting a stop on the other side of the 2 minute warning.
Okay. Look.
The referees and coaches at your kids' games, too?
Thank you.
We're talking
Jason.
About a preseason game
Appreciate
one
it,
with the four stringers in.
Hey, man.
I'm all for calling him out on clock management issues.
You got that one right.
He did.
Yes.
There's 30 seconds left. It's 4th and 14. And he calls a timeout to make sure that you get as many chances as you can at the Apple when it's coming. There's nothing left to do at that point.
No, in that situation, call the timeout. Play, the game's right there on the line. So if he saved one for after the 2 minute, guess what? Indy kneels and they kneel. You burn one. You may get the ball back, I guess, is Jason's point there. But the play was there to be made. Delano's there, and if you're Delano Hill, that's a bummer. That's going to be a tough one to watch today because those are the plays. When you get your opportunities as a young guy, especially for Pete, where winning does matter.
That was Kent. I thought they had the internet down there. Whoa, does he not understand?
Easy.
Like, honestly, like, what's going on? Like, what was that?
Easy. He's more on your guys'. Don't you guys have a part of your caller audience?
That's fresh water.
Yeah.
That was there.
What's no, going on in Kent?
Yeah. If what,
I'm sure
what,
it's fresh water.
Stop.
Curtis Rogers is from Kent. It's a long way from the ocean. Hours.
Okay, how about this one? How about our guy David? He also wasn't happy with something last night. What's up, David?
Hey, what's on, guys? I called yesterday morning, and you asked me a question. What one thing I was looking for?
Oh, that's right.
Different in this, and it wasn't the scheme, it wasn't the coaches, it wasn't the personnel. I wanted to see a cleaner game because last year, at the end of the preseason, everybody was asking Pete Carroll, are you concerned about the penalties? Mm-hmm. This was preseason. And they said, yeah, we got to clean this up. And it dogged this team all year long. All year long, this team would lead the league in penalties. Last night, pretty decent game, but the one thing I was disappointed about, again, double-digit penalties over 100 yards. This team had talent enough to survive that last year. This team does not have the talent to survive double-digit penalties during the game, during the regular season. If they do that, this will be a 5-11, 6-10 team. And then my second point is, when you come to the talent making up for mistakes, what I saw yesterday, is this the year that we don't have a talent to make up for, where all that lost high-end draft capital for players that aren't even here anymore going to come back to bite us? Basically giving up 3 number ones, a 2 and a 3, for 4 guys that aren't even here anymore in the last 4 or 5 years, is this the year where we're going to see that's going to come back to bite us a little bit because the talent level is not there?
David in Prairie, a couple good points there. And, yes, you did call yesterday and bring those to light. In fact, you got Danny kind of shaking his head a little bit.
I liked one. I did not like the other.
And he'll digest both of those, and we'll come back on the other side. So got a bunch of you on the horn. A few more open lines, 206-421-3776. Plenty to discuss. If you want to talk a little Felix, the way that Scott Servais has managed Felix, do you like it? Is this how a superstar should be treated as he gets sent down to the bullpen yesterday? All sorts of conversations still with you here in the final hour. Danny sitting in for Salk. It's Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com. And I hear them say,
hey, Brian O'Connell, if you're listening right now, producer, did an awesome job last night. If you're listening, you're going to get more of that. He's hitting both. How about that? I wonder how many Brian O'Connells there are out there that had Pearl Jam Wednesday night. He went to the Rose Show, home show. He went to and obviously produced the game last night, and he's going back Friday night. How many folks out there get to hit all three of those, both of the Pearl Jam shows and the Seahawk game? If you are, you are a lucky person and have a great time.
Did you see who went to the Pearl Jam concert on Wednesday night?
Who?
Matt Hardin, our former board op.
We talked about that. Oh, yeah.
Uber driver now.
Best tip ever.
Oh, got 2 tickets to go to the game.
Yes, he did. Way to go there, Matt Hardin. So you like that phone call, Dave and Prairie. And I really want to take Jeff's call here in Sammamish as well and pay off last night and our final thoughts on the game. But David from Prairie brought up and said, hey, listen. I said it before, I'll say it again. You could get away with penalties in the past. You cannot get away with them the way you have in the past with this crew as it's turned. And from a talent standpoint, watching really closely whether this draft capital and some of the capital lost in the draft is going to come back and bite them.
Penalties was a positive in the first half last night. They committed 2 of them. They flagged for just 2 penalties in the first half. It got away from them in the second half, and I'm not as concerned about that because it's lower rungs on your depth chart that aren't going to matter. As much, you're not going to see that. Only 2 penalties in the first half. David's 100% right about the penalties. They've got to be a cleaner team. Their margin for error is significantly
much
smaller.
Like you said, the special teams phase that won games in 2010 and 2011, that won games, is going to have to win a game or maybe even 2 this season. In Janikowski or Jason Myers, Michael Dixon or John Ryan, 20 Cent. and McKissick and Lockett returning kicks, that has to be a not a break even. That has to be a winning component. Yeah, I think equally the penalty's got to go down. I like this point, Jeff and Sammamish. You bring up a good point and a good conversation because it certainly came to my mind last night. Jeff, what do you got to say?
Hello?
Hey, Jeff.
Hey. Hey, guys. Love the show. Hey, man. I was thinking about the Earl Thomas situation and being a huge fan of the Seinfeld shows. Made me think of a situation where George Costanza got all upset with management, called out his boss, told him what a terrible guy he was, blah, 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 pretty much burned every bridge, then realized he'd made a huge mistake, and after some discussions with Jerry, decided the best thing to do was to show up the next day and act like nothing had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And when they questioned him about it, he says, "Guys, I was just joking. You thought I was taking that seriously? You know me. I'm a joker. Blah, 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 blah. No, I never meant that. Come on, guys."
Yeah. And do you think Earl's got to do the same?
I think he's got a good – if he came in with that kind of attitude and diffused it with humor, I think if I was his agent, I would say, you got to release all the anger and just get him in and say, "Guys, I'm so grateful to be here."
Right.
Try to make it funny. He goes, "I'm just joking, guys. Come on. You've worked
with me. I've made a huge mistake."
Yeah. Hey, thank you, Jeff and Sammamish. It brings to light. I was thinking about Earl last night, not going to lie. When Tedrick got introduced and he played a half, and when he came out of center field twice and one time to save a tackle, a sure tackle there as the running back broke free, and it was him and it was Tedrick or a touchdown, like it's been for so long with Earl. He made the play and corralled him, brought him right down. And then I think the very next play was a little shallow cross, a bust in the zone underneath. Receiver fell down, so he slipped, and he had to get up. By the time he got up, Tedrick just sawed him in half, and just boom. I know Paul Moyer was talking about a postgame, too, like that acceleration. If he adds that with his instincts and just kind of football 101, you're going to miss Earl, but not nearly as much as Earl thinks you're going to miss him.
Earl would be – the team would be better with Earl. There's no situation where missing Earl is not going to matter. You're hoping that your replacement – is capable enough that it's not backbreaking like it was when Cam Chancellor was out for those two games and you've got Deion Bailey falling down on a coverage route. That's what you're hoping for. For the caller's point, if Earl came back this week, there's still room for a truce here. I would bet that if he came in this week or next week, that you could still have a point where you could forgive the fines, where you could move forward and he's part of the team. But it would require Earl caving. Like it would require Earl saying, "I don't want a new contract." He's not getting an extension from this team. And I don't see any way that he backtracks on that. Kyle had a great question before the show, which was, if Earl's traded, would he play out the final year of his deal with a new team?
Mm.
And he might. And that kind of underscores the position you're in as the Seahawks.
That's right.
You would have to do more to make him happy than another team would. And that's part of the puzzle, the riddle. The Seahawks are painted into a corner here. They can't give Earl what he wants. And they have to hold true to what they've said.
Yep.
And
I don't think they feel like they're in a corner. Like, this is very clear. This messaging has not changed. We're not giving you an extension. That's not changed. And this roster's turning. And you saw it last night. The guys flying around having the time of their lives. And if you want to be a part of that party, come on back. I don't know how many times you make guarantees on your show. Do you make guarantees very often? Like, "I guarantee this."
Well, the most recent one I made was that I guarantee that Baker Mayfield's going to be the next Johnny Manziel.
That's a tough guarantee. Yeah. I don't think I would make that guarantee. But I'll make this one. Earl Thomas, I guarantee you, when he's my age, will regret this money he's losing right now. I think he's not making this money back. He will never make this money back. And that's not to say he won't get another contract, because he will. But he would have got that contract anyway. And this $1 million right now, are we at about $1 million right now on our way to North?
More. He's one point. After 5 days of the holdout, they could retrieve 15% of a $9.5 million signing bonus. That's $1.4 million, and it increases 1% more each day.
On top of the other fines per day, the per fine. So he's nearing $2 million. Earl, you'll never get this money back. Get yourself back into camp. And I feel so strongly about that. When he's 42 years old, he's going to look back and go, "Man, why did I do that? What business to say? What leverage did I think I had where I could just throw away $2 million? What am I doing?"
I understand a player's strategic decision to use the only leverage they have when they're in a contract they're unhappy with, which is to withhold service. Strategically, you do that in order to get a resolution to the situation you want.
Or a raise.
And Dwayne Brown, his holdout cost him a lot of money. It also got him off of a team he no longer wanted to play for and was signed for two more seasons.
Yep.
For Earl Thomas, when he eventually reports, which he'll eventually have to do unless he wants to be bound by the same contract in this position next year, he's not going to gain anything from what he's doing right now other than he's not going to play football. That's what he's going to gain, is he's not going to get hurt playing football because he's not playing football.
Hey, Scott, down in the other T-town, not Tacoma, but Tumwater, can you quickly make your point? Because I like what you got to say here. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, first of all, I gotta say something to Danny. Hey, you got a 15-year-old fan. We sat in front of you at the Mariners game against the Angels on the 4th of July. It was a great time. I sent you a meme on your Facebook. My kid thought it was great. But anyway, back to football, back to the game, the tight end.
Yep. Oh, darn it.
Scott!
Oh, phone went out.
Scott! Oh. My one fan out there. He's been cut off. The one guy that likes me.
I mean, let's be honest. That was his main takeaway. Like, sure. Danny, you're awesome.
We didn't even need to hear about Will Disley or the tight ends. That's what that's what Scotty wanted to bring up.
And I love that dude. I know exactly who it was.
We had a blast.
Yeah, it was with my in-laws, and it was very fun.
How about Uncle Will last night?
Uncle Will looked great.
How about Uncle Will last night getting it done? Catching a couple passes, blocking.
Who plays more this season? Uncle Will or Nick Vanette?
Uncle Will. Uncle Will's going to play more because they're going to run the ball, right? And as we heard earlier, can you just give me one last snippet of 20 Cent here? One of the best songs that's ever been put together on the afternoon show. The challenges, everything that Boy Howdy brings to the table. Our call
hey,
earlier.
Man.
Yeah, talking about this run game. And this is my last little takeaway of this morning.
Go, 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 go. Go, shoddy, call a run play. Yeah. We gonna draft guys who play like all day. We gonna go wide double tight, run counter trace. Uh-huh. And you know Russ don't give up if it's a good play. You can run on 1st and 10, rough up the defense with Caroline, move to 6. When I hit them there again, I'm into clock control. I ain't into sequences, so bring up an 8th man if you follow my game plan. You can run on 1st and 10.
And how about that? How about last night they ran the ball? That's why Will Disley's gonna play more. That's why there's gonna be more Carson and Penny. And frankly, that was, I think, the most encouraging thing, that number one offense. We had that shot of Pete last night on the field after Chris Carson's run. I think he and about 100,000 of you all over the Pacific Northwest were like, yes, that's what a run play looks like. That's back to the running identity that so many of us covet. Hey, answer the question, Jerk. We wrap up every show with it. Simply text your questions to 710-710. If you're like Scotty down in Tumwater and you just want to give a little love to Danny after hanging out at the Mariners game, you could do that.
Well, how about the 206? Danny is not awesome.
Danny is.
I switch the channel every day because of him.
Danny is awesome. And text any question you got, and we'll answer him to wrap this show up. Danny in for Salk for one last segment here on Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk's Answer the Question, Jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Everybody, question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
You have fun today?
I had a blast.
Lydia, you have fun today?
I always have fun with you guys. Standing in, like, you guys both were up until the wee hours of the morning, but you're bringing
it. Let's go. Let's go. Let's answer the question. Kyle, I think even Kyle had fun. Did you have fun today, Kyle?
I mean, we'll see how this goes.
Now, okay. Let's not get crazy.
Now, Kyle would be in a unique perspective because we worked together for, what, like 15 months?
Yeah, 15 months, 4 days, and 6 hours.
Yeah, something about that. And I was leaving my first full-time gig in radio. Right. I've been at a newspaper before. You were changing roles because Salk had left you.
Yeah.
He had abandoned you for greener pastures.
Dumped me.
Kyle was the board op.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Saw me for that. How do we sound now compared to that 15-month rebound relationship?
Well, I think you guys just sound comfortable.
Yeah.
In your own skin and with each other.
Yeah.
There's no worry about stepping on toes. Now you're willing to just outright offend each other.
There's
and
no
that's
worrying
when you're
about
in a much
us,
better space.
You know, no worrying about the producer picking up a homeless guy on 405 to run the show either.
I'm not about to pull Danny into one of our edit suites and have a real intense conversation.
Really funny. Really funny the things that happened. Two things that I will remember most about the Brock and Danny show. The first was that, and Kyle saw it, you were remote. I called Aaron Goldsmith, Aaron Goldschmidt. Tom came into my ear, and all I heard was, Goldschmidt? And at that point, I didn't know what I'd said.
We began a spiral.
Was Goldsmith the error I made? And his name is Goldschmidt, as Tom had just hissed. Did I say Goldschmidt and that was an obvious error? I didn't know. And for about 3 minutes, I gazed off into space.
You just blacked out.
Thought about where my life had gone to. I think Kyle even made the observation of, like, Danny's going through it.
Tom
right now
was talking to me down the line, like, bro, Danny's blacked out. Like, yeah. You've got to talk. He's blacked out.
I was done. The other one was in a meeting with the radio consultant. Tom, they brought up the idea that perhaps I should lead the show, even though I was less experienced, because how would I learn unless I did it? And Tom's response was, well, by the same rationale, shouldn't we just go find a guy under 405 and let him try it to see if he can do it?
So supportive.
We love you, Tommy.
I do love Tom.
Any questions here?
It was also during the infamous Brock and Danny show where I had to forcibly separate Tom and Bob back here, and you guys were watching through the glass. What is going on back there? Do we need to go to break?
He kicked Bob out. Tom kicked Bob out of the control room.
The closest I've seen to a fist fight in this building.
And then afterward, Tom said, I'm kind of proud of the way I stood my ground.
But in that sense, the Mississippi River is the ocean.
I love Tom.
Next question.
Jerks, what kind of role will Cam Chancellor have with the Seahawks this year?
He's not going to have much of one. We talk about it and all of the different things. Look, he's on to a different chapter in his life. Yeah. And I think it was cool that he was out at practice. And I think that there can be opportunities for him to chime in. But the reality is that he is... Anything there is going to be more symbolic than it is actually strategic.
Yeah, when he's around, it'll be cool. But he's not, I think, going to be asked to be around or strategically put around. It's, I think, one of those. Whenever he does come around, like last night on the field or the other day on the practice field as well, there'll be some reverence. The guys will certainly enjoy it. And there's undoubtedly, he was, no doubt, he was a leader. So, but he will not be asked to be in some coaching role or have a defined role. It will just be one of those when he shows up will be appreciated.
The other thing is he can't teach someone how to be a leader. He can't teach someone how to play like he did. Like, there's part of it where you've got to leave room for the other guys to grow into those roles.
Yeah. Meat on the bone, like we say. Meat on the bone.
Also, he's skinny. He's down 25, 30 pounds from where he was.
He's still a good looking dude.
Jerk, I want to buy a jersey of a current Seahawks rookie.
Okay.
Which one should I invest in?
Good
Dixon.
Question. Number 4?
No, you shouldn't buy a punter's jersey.
Number 88?
88, Uncle
How
Will.
Much
Better.
49?
49, yeah. 49 is going to be the most popular one. How good did the 88 look on Disley? Like, if you just would have worn an 88 in college, you could have been a third-round pick. But you putting on D-line 95, wearing 95 at Washington just felt crooked. Just didn't feel right.
Do you know how many years I heard about all the different tight ends? Tight end is the position Washington is justifiably best known for.
Oh, yeah. Aaron,
and how many different years?
Aaron Pierce, Ernie Conwell, Mark Bruner, Cam Cleland, Jeremy Stevens.
Jeremy Brigham was their third string tight end who was a fourth-round pick.
Yep.
And Uncle Will, for the past few years, oh, Hunter Bryant's going to come and he's going to be a stud. And Hunter Bryant is going to be a stud.
Yep.
And Drew Sample's going to do it. Will Disley consistently made huge catches for him.
Do you like 20, by the way? Do you like Penny wearing 20?
I was going to say, I was like, oh,
I don't know,
man,
about
it's
that.
It's hard to shake the
Jeremy
J Lane.
I know. Just
I like the 20.
20 Cent, though. He's 20 Cent. Let's
20
go.
Cent.
20
Cent. Jeremy Lane.
Yeah.
Jerks. Do you think that Cam 49. Chancellor could have an Ichiro-type role?
Grab on the fluence, but most people thinking I was drunk. And this time I was more high than, if anything.
Oh, that's Jeremy.
Is that the audio? How yes. have I never heard that before?
Jeremy Lane audio.
You never heard that?
No! Did
Grab
that come in while I was...
But most people thinking I was drunk. And this time I was more high than, if anything.
That's from the dash cam footage?
Yes.
And he doesn't even say that he's not that. Drunk. He's just saying he's more
I'm
high.
More high than anything.
This time.
This time.
He's the dumbest football player I've ever covered. there's no two
Are
ways about
sure,
it.
Are you sure, bro?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
That's incredible.
That's a bold statement.
I saw that quote in the police report. I thought the police officer was summarizing what Jeremy... Like,
no,
it was
no,
a direct
no,
quote.
That's direct.
I was more high than anything.
No, Cam will not be Ichiro. He will not be wearing his uniform. He will not be in the locker room waiting to run out on the field. He will be doing none of that.
He's not going to be wearing his gloves walking on the field?
No.
To be honest, I think Cam's is the more well-rounded. I feel better about Cam's future life after the sport because he's not going to be like Ichiro. I love Ichiro, but that's still weird. It is exceptionally weird.
Is that weirder than Jeremy Lane saying more high than drunk?
Or? No, because that's just a lack of any sort of cognizance or filter or understanding of. It's the same reason why you tweet out like, man, I can't believe Sherman's gone. And everybody's like, why did you say that to everybody on Twitter? Idiot.
Thank you, Danny, for coming in for 3 hours. You'll be back on, what, for an hour this afternoon?
Yes, that's correct.
Danny David Moore. We'll turn it over to Clayton. I know he is geeked out of his mind and talk a whole lot of football with you. Professor will follow this. But for this day, Danny, and this little rebound relationship, the hay.
It's in the barn.
Is that to say that Earl can now put his name back in his mouth?